Welcome to a breakthrough in wellness. LifeWave X39 patches are proud sponsor today. Imagine tapping into ancient healing through modern technology. The X39 uses light photon therapy, which is a practice that actually dates back 2,000 years to energize your body's natural flow and to produce stem cells. It's not just wellness, it's science actually enhancing your life. These patches empower your own body to produce its own stem cells, which revitalize you from within. Feel the surge of youth and wellness almost immediately. And with your LifeWave X39, your satisfaction is guaranteed. 100% money back. No risks, just pure wellness. So if you sign up as a preferred customer plus, today you'll get it for $19.95 a month. You'll receive wholesale prices, subscription savings, loyalty rewards, sample products of all the different patches, and your own referral link. So this Christmas, you guys, everybody was sick around me. We were in Portland at my family's and literally everybody got sick. I had the patches on and I stayed completely healthy. And it was all thanks to X39. And then when I found out that I could put the patches on children, I put one on 7 because she was also really sick. And she had had a fever, but I put the patch on and she was back to normal, no fever, in just 2 hours. And me, I'm feeling like I'm 21 years old again. I have so much energy, it's crazy. So if you're ready to join as a provider, you're going to go and you're going to click join and then just select your package. And then don't forget to add the Preferred Plus program for all the exclusive benefits I just told you about before for $19.99. And this will be available for the next month. Okay, so you want to visit www.lifewave.com, LIFEWAVE.com/psychicbabes, PSYCHICBABES, to start your journey to renewed energy and wellness. LifeWave X39, energize your life, guys. You won't regret it.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, all engine running. Liftoff, we have a liftoff.
We're in the 21st century. Humans that aren't awake survive in a self-made penitentiary. If you're seeking truth, honesty, integrity, stay away from the polarity. There's only one place to turn to. You can't trust the singularity. I'll be that babe spreading higher consciousness, wisdom, because we ain't no one's test subject and we ain't no damn victim. Wake up, humanity, before it's too late. If you sit where I'm sitting, we got a checkmate. Question everything, fairy rings, aliens, reptilians, Arcturians, Palladians, dragons, and even our own origins. Psychic babes, we empower humankind. Seek the truth, but don't seek through the mind. This is how we win, go within, stand together. Colors can't divide us, watch our differences unite us.
Welcome to Psychic Babes. I'm your host, Kirsten Sandifer. Today on the podcast, we are welcoming Corinne Griot. She is a licensed psychotherapist, an author, a speaker, healer, teacher, and founder of the Angel Alchemy Academy. She is well known for her book, The Angel Experiment, a 21-day magical adventure to heal your life. She teaches others all over the world how to awaken to their gifts and how to figure out their purpose by working with angels and the divine. So welcome, Corinne. It's so great to have you on the show.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's such a pleasure.
Awesome. Well, let's jump in and start out with kind of what got you started on your spiritual awakening.
I think I had always been like I've always kind of liked spiritual things. Mm-hmm. And like, I used to like watching, you know, like ghost shows and stuff like that. But I was never, I didn't really know how officially real this stuff was until I had a big, angel encounter in my mid 30s. And, I witnessed a miracle and really, I hate to use this as an example, but, there's like before Christ and after Christ.
Yes. Before, okay. The major experience that changes your life where you can't unsee it.
Right. Yeah. Or another one that I like to use is like before Oprah and then after Oprah, like, you know, the world changed after Oprah hit the scene and all of a sudden we know about our personal development and stuff like that. So that angel experience was kind of like a marker in my life where the life before that I had is so significantly different that it feels and seems like it was probably someone else's life.
And I mean, part of it was because I'm a firm believer that part of us dies, you know, the old part of us that wasn't so healthy or whatever dies when we have our awakening.
And that's the thing. I feel like I did die. And what's interesting is, you know, my biggest prayer for most of my life, because I had a pretty rough upbringing and suffered a lot with depression and really not wanting to be here. So like back then, you know, my only prayers were really like, okay, could today be my last damn day? Can a kid, can a bus just hit me or like throw me a bone? Cause I was never like, I was never, I guess, courageous enough to actually take my life or like, you know, I just never quite could get there, but boy, did I wish for it. And so, yeah, that day my life did end. But not in the way that I was praying for.
Right. Yeah. Well, and you also, I mean, so much of your journey really resonates with me because I also went through a time where I was addicted to painkillers and things like that. And you went through a similar thing. And then after my awakening, it was just like, what am I doing? I mean, it just takes away all the desire to even, again, like we're saying, it feels like a past life. How did that help you to get over those kinds of addictions and things like that?
Well, I think, you know, when you look at addiction, you know, and I'm a licensed psychotherapist, but, and I was actually a licensed psychotherapist before the angels came. I was just drinking a whole bunch and doing a bunch of drugs and a therapist at the same time.
I love it.
I know, but you know what? I felt really proud of myself that at least I wasn't doing crystal meth because that was like what I had done in my 20s, you know? So I felt like, phew, I got my shit together.
Switch to Adderall instead.
Exactly. I switched to Adderall and, you know, I'm just drinking a fifth of tequila every couple of days. It's not a big deal. But no, I mean, I knew I was like so fucked up. But it was just like, well, I had to be here and do something. So let's do something. So, you know, addiction, really a lot of it is like a craving for connection, you know, finding that connection, you know, alcohol
to me was like, with something or someone.
Yeah. Just, so it's like this emptiness that we feel, it just medicates some of that. And so with that, when the miracle happened and my heart and everything kind of opened up, it's not like I was like clean that day, but it was like, I was just more attracted to things that like opened my heart more. So it almost like it started taking some of that attention that I was giving to the drugs or to the alcohol and directing it towards things that were beautiful and, you know, lifted me up. And then I also had this new voice inside of me. It probably wasn't a new voice, but it was like the first time I was actually really able to hear it inside of myself that was kind of positive and giving me hope and helping me kind of dream different dreams for myself. But I stopped waking up with that heaviness on my chest, that like dread. And I think that really helped. And as far as like, you know, the addictions, I feel like the addictions, they still kind of like want to dance with me. So this activation happened for me. When was this? This probably about 12 years ago. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I've gone through a lot of cycles since then, and those addiction demons still come back. Every once in a while, I will play with them. Yeah. But having the support of spirit there and really the life that I have now, there's like, I actually feel like I have something worth living for, which I never had that before meeting the angels.
Oh, you're making me cry. Like, No, I know exactly. I know exactly what you mean.
Really?
Yeah. No, I, on a deep level, not with angels, but with my spirit guides and with spirit speaking to me finally and me understanding all of this, because it was like before that, I just couldn't make heads or tails. It was like, I knew, but I didn't know. And then I was married to somebody who just was very emotionally abusive and would tell me I was crazy with all the things that I was, you know, I was very psychic and was telling him things he was doing. And he just, you know, typical narcissist kind of stuff. And yeah. So that makes, you know, that's difficult. But once I got out of that, and that leads to my next question. Why do you think it's during trauma that we tend to have these experiences that really kind of pull us out of it?
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes it doesn't happen like that. Sometimes I think for me, well, let me just feel into this one, because I feel like spirit wants me to answer this a specific way here. They're calling those moments of opportunity, almost like invitation to, they're just saying it's a moment of opportunity, and that, I guess we don't really understand it like that when we're in it, because it sucks balls, and some of us actually do kill ourselves because of it. Right. Yeah. But in all of those lows, we have an incredible opportunity to find a different resource. And it's like one that is more authentic. The one, like, you know, we find God, we find spirit when all else is lost, like everything else has failed us. But what I think the real opportunity is when we are struggling is that we can develop that authentic relationship versus the relationship with spirituality that is quite toxic and kind of pushed down our throats and you know, like, you know, we're all born into sin and like all of that bullshit. I mean, I'm sorry if I'm offending.
The religious dogma bullshit. Yeah.
Okay, good. I'm glad I can say that here. Yeah. Oh, yeah. But I've been getting increasingly enraged, I guess, which I didn't start off enraged about religion. It's just that the more that I work with spirit, the more I see like how it's just, I get really sad and, to be honest, very much disgusted on how religion is weaponized against us. And
it judges us, telling us we're talking to devils and things like that. It's just bizarre, you know?
Yeah. And it's just a method of control. And that's where it started back in the day, right? Mm-hmm. Like you have to kind of
in full circle, aren't we?
That's where it started back in the day. But the reason why so many people are leaving religion is because it has become in many churches a weapon of, that's not about love. It's not about authentic connection with spirit. So maybe that was the opportunity, right? You asked earlier about why does that happen in your dark moment? It's like, well, when else might it happen?
Yeah, that's very true. That makes complete sense. What have the angels told you about what's coming? Like what's in store for us in 2022?
Ah, 2022. Well, I will say there's a few different patterns or things that are energies that kind of I've been kind of catching wafts of. Mm-hmm. But there's a few. And so it is. So the overarching message is that the control is always inside of you. And I feel that this time period for those people who can hear it is really about getting out of the shaming and blaming, and it's those people over here who are making this planet worse off, and it's those people over here that is and really stop making enemies outside of ourselves. Mm-hmm. And look inside for the real enemy. And so the architect.
A lot of people are afraid to do that.
Well, a lot of people don't have the skills to, because we are in such a young society and so many of our leaders have modeled, ooh, it's the Democrats, or, you know, it's the, you know, and it's so fucking stupid, right? Yeah. It's like, okay, we are not raised with taking radical responsibility for who we are at first. And I think, who knows why it's hard for some people, but I've kind of always been someone who's like in the threshold. I'm like in the middle of everything. It's kind of like, I just feel like, okay, I could see these perspectives. Mm-hmm. Now I do have very strong political beliefs and things like that, but I'm also able to disconnect and go, hey, you know, we're all just doing our best, you know, with what we got. But yeah, what I love about, the spirituality that works for me is really always looking inside first, making the shifts inside. If you're hooked into something too much, so let's say it's like, oh, I'm anti-vax or whatever. If you're hooked into that feeling too much, that's literally just old trauma. So we have to like look at our history. I think right now, that's what the directive is that I've been hearing, at least for 2022, is the people who are going to really rise are the ones who are taking personal responsibility for how they feel in the world, looking at their trauma, trying to unhook from it. And again, like de-traumatizing, like releasing the trauma that we've endured, not just in our life, but the last 2 years. And so I feel that angels always give us, or spirit's always giving us like a blank slate. And they're like, here, it's yours to create. What do you want to create with this? But those of us who get stuck in butthurt alley and stay there, can't like move past it. So I feel that there's great, incredible expansion and opportunity for people next year. I feel I already felt that for this year as well. But it takes a lot of discipline, I think, mental and emotional discipline.
And I feel like the more of us that it's not about us versus them, but the more of us that come together and unite in this common goal of just equality of everything and everybody, and just not judging everybody. I think that's what it's going to take for the uplifting to happen, because, you know, so much it's become so divisive, this world, that it's us versus them. And truly, you know, any spiritual person that I know that's worth their salt is always steps back and says, it's not about that. I'm inclusive of everybody's beliefs. That's fine. Whatever you want to believe. I just want to do the right thing, you know? And if you want to do the right thing, great. I'm happy to, you know, happy to work with you in that way. And I think if everybody just got to that point, or if half the population got to that point, we would be in a much different place.
We would. I know. And I think we have to separate ourselves from our beliefs. And you know, because you are not your beliefs. And so if your beliefs are that sacred to you, there's a problem because like, that's not you. And I just feel like so many of us have gotten caught up in propaganda bubbles, that we've become the beliefs instead of like, oh, remember you have a heart. And that, because everyone I know, and I kind of in a unique position, because I meet with people from all over the world, right? So I'm not in this little bubble with just my people who just believe like I do. And I think that has really helped me. And I think the more exposure that we get to other real conversations with real people on the other side of the aisle, you realize like, God, I really just love people. Okay, they might believe this really whack thing, but you know, fundamentally, we're just doing the best we can.
Yeah, exactly. I lived in Germany and in Ireland, so I have that ability as well to see things from a different perspective. And, you know, they look at us kind of some of the things we do and they just go, okay, whatever. But like, for example, in Ireland, they pick up hitchhikers. It's like not a big deal. It's just a normal thing that happens there. And I almost had a heart attack the first time my friend did it. And he was like, what do you mean? Like, we help people here. And I was just like, wow. I mean, that, I just step back and go, oh my God. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And again, I think that's, I just want to say like, our country is a highly traumatized country and we behave this way with our paranoia. So our paranoia and all the like deep conspiracy theories and all of that, I feel like the, so much of that is coming from a place of trauma. It's coming from, like, you know, whether you trust or distrust life. And I think that's why I think, like, all of us have to, like, really look at where we're hurt and do that work so that we unplug from the propaganda machines and, you know, come back into love for ourselves and life and each other, and find like-minded people who are committed to loving each other despite the differences.
And on that note, kind of what's coming for 2022, one of the amazing things I think about angels is they're accessible to anybody. It doesn't matter how much money you make or, you know, what you do in life, they are accessible. You just have to invite them in, right? So what do you think the manifestation energy, because I know 2021 was all about very much the limbic system and then putting action behind it. So is 2022 going to be different, or how is that going to be?
Oh, interesting. It's so interesting because I'm doing an event in a couple of weeks about this, but I haven't, like, quite finished my kind of approach. But again, I feel it's always like they're I always see them handing the baton and saying, it's like you choose. This is sovereignty. People talk a lot about freedom and sovereignty, and I think they miss it. They're missing the point. Like, literally choosing how you're going to alchemize your darkness.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
How you're going to alchemize your darkness, alchemize your fear, alchemize your confusion. I feel like people who really get that this work is internal as much as that is, as it is, you want to fight some, you know, righteous fight outside. It's internal. And the more you can take your gaze away from the outside and turn it inwards, the more that we will be able to expand. You'll be able to expand. So again, it's silence. It's meditation. I feel like coming up for us, staying quiet. But also getting directive from spirit. So it's like, you stay in silence. Don't make a move until you get a directive.
Listen first.
Listen first, and then do something fucking awesome, right? Do some awesome shit. But it's like, unplugging from drama. And again, there's not just one 2022. The 2022 is going to look different for whoever's listening.
Yeah, absolutely. I wanted to ask you, do you see angels? Have you visibly been able to see them before? And how do you discern their energy versus your spirit guides or your ET guides? How do you make that?
Yeah, that's a great question, because I've been talking a lot to space aliens lately.
Me too.
Yeah. They're just coming around. I think some of that is because I'm buying this property up in Mount Shasta. Do you know California?
Of course I know Mount Shasta. Have fun. It's an amazing place that I've had so many weird occurrences there that are just beautiful. I mean, amazing.
I know. Look, I know it's like this, like, you know, super hot spot for spiritual folks. And I tend to, like, avoid things like that, you know, because I'm really kind of grounded and let's just get our work done, people. Just get off.
It's a beautiful area in Northern California.
It's beautiful.
Spectacular. Yeah.
However, I asked spirit. I was in Peru. I was leading a group down to Peru, and we were doing medicine ceremony. And I asked the mountain spirit there to find me a nice mountain up in California so I can bring people to. We could do some healing, because I love mountain spirits.
Yeah.
And so this property kind of came around, and I was like, wow. Well, you can't get better than a mountain spirit. I mean, this is like the best mountain spirit maybe in the Western Seaboard. So I went up there, and I forget why I'm telling the story, but aliens. Okay.
Discerning.
The alien contact started happening before I went up there. Right. But I was like, hey guys, what's up? You know, so what are we talking about today? And so how does it feel different actually when I'm, they're not quite as effervescent as like an angel energy would be for me. That's, I'm kind of like a feeler. Yes. So when an angel comes into the room, it's like I feel like, oh, huge heart expansion. With the aliens, it's like, it's the, well, the ones I've been talking to, still really positive, mm-hmm. very full of love, a little less effervescent. A little less like a wing is like making my skin tingle. Yeah. But yeah, the activity has been kind of upticked a little bit since I've been working more with the powers that be at Shasta and with Shasta, which is just so.
I also think it has to do with the energies coming in right now are just very
galactic.
Yeah. Big time because of all the different things going on. So
yeah.
They're needed.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I've had contact here and there. My first contact happened when I was 18 or like around 19 or 20. But they're definitely coming around again. And actually a lot of the channeling that I'm doing and work that I'm doing and things that I'm doing for the, or, you know, the offerings that I'm dreaming up in the future has a lot to do with this galactic energy that's coming in and really trying to navigate and help other leaders kind of synthesize this energy and lead from the new transformational energy that's coming onto the planet.
I love that. Now this is a question my listeners wanted me to ask. Do they speak about the fallen angels? Did they explain that to you? Have you gotten any communication about that? How did that happen? What does it mean? You know, is that story correct? What the whole
show, yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Before I answer this question, I want to say that I am one person and I do not have an authority on our history mm-hmm. on any level. And so I don't want anybody to take this as truth. I want them to listen to it as if like, well, that's a cool option and then decide for themselves right later. And that's how I generally work with spirituality anyways. It's like, well, it's all, and you know, channels are, we're all fallible, right?
Yeah. Nobody's answer is right for everybody. So just, yeah, discernment guys, but.
Yeah. Yeah. And also with this particular question, there's so many layers to it that there's not one right answer, no matter how we would answer it. Right. Yeah. So, but yes, in the beginning of the work that I did, when I started working with angels, I encountered angels first, right? So I wasn't looking in books or anything. Mm-hmm. And then I started slowly doing sessions for people because they would come into my psychotherapy. The angels would come into my psychotherapy wow. sessions. Wow. And then I was like, I didn't know what to do. You know, it's kind of awkward because mm-hmm. I'm trying to be all a traditional therapist and like the angels are coming into the room. Excuse me. I know, so awkward. So after I got over my angel shame, I started talking about the angels in my sessions. And as I started, and so the angels would do healing, you know, for this person, and I would see, you know, darkness around this person. Or every once in a while, you know, you'll see like a dark energy or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I started believing in the dark because I started seeing the dark and going, oh shit. Okay. So, but then, you know, work with Archangel Michael, clear it up. It's not a big deal. So I do believe that there are entities out there that are doing their best to disconnect you from source. Right. Mm-hmm. But I also believe that we hire them. So I don't think of them as evil. I think of them as being hired by yourself or someone perhaps that has thrown a curse at you or your family over the last 1,000 years.
And wherever there is light, there is dark. So it's just,
yeah. And I know this is going to sound weird, but I have a great fondness for both angels and the dark.
I understand that.
Do you, I mean, I've never said that out loud publicly.
Nobody gets it, but you have to understand the dark in order to understand the light fully. And you have to respect them both in order to truly be a light worker. I believe that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I think by opening up my heart to all of it, right? Not just the pretty stuff, but like, okay, well, this exists too. So what's really going on? It gave me a more objective window to look at this stuff. And I don't run in fear if I see something a little weird, you know, a little off, a little dark. But light and dark in the third dimension, this is how it works here. The paradox, we're seeing the paradox come to life in front of us, in front of all the people, all the opposing sides. I mean, that is the physics of this place. And so I don't think that they're, I mean, from my perspective, they're all serving a purpose. And that when I encounter them, you know, some of my questions for the people are, you know, what's going on with you? And because sometimes there's a seed of suffering inside of us that essentially hires this darkness to come. So I feel like I was polluted for the first several decades of my life with the darkness, because I was doing a lot of addictions and things like that, thinking horrible thoughts about myself. And what spirit kind of does is like, okay,
that's what okay, you want. Here you go.
You're fat, ugly, and stupid. Let us help you with that.
Because
we have free will. Again, remember I was saying like people don't understand free will sovereignty. It's like your thoughts, where are you going to attend to them? Mm-hmm. I almost get excited talking about the dark because it's been balanced, I think. And we all have to, again, when I said the work is inside, we all have to be willing to look at our deepest, darkest monsters inside of us without judging them, so that we can, like, you know, love ourselves fully, right? And I feel like it's the same process with like angels versus demons. It's like, you best do your inner work around that. If you're terrorized, why? And then who told you you should? And then, you know, it's like, because I'm a mystic. I don't believe anything that anybody tells me. I have to experience it for myself.
I have a 3-time rule. I have to experience it 3 times to confirmation in 3 different areas.
Exactly. Like,
okay, spirit, we're good.
Exactly. So, I mean, I'm trying to kind of think of like, okay, did I just make my sound like a devil worshiper or something? But it's not really about that. It's about honoring the balance of nature, honoring the balance of life. And the once creator of all that is, once it starts dividing itself, it's going to have some dark aspects to it. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, but you know, it's not the whole thing. So how I think of angels is that they help bring us back into balance if we've fallen too far. But let me tell you about what I feel the dark really helps us with and why it's important. When we come from union, like, okay, so this is like what spirit told me. Okay. Yeah. So there's this big, like awesome ball of all good things, right? Creator of all that is, and it has it, it's perfect. And then it decides, I want to experience myself. So then it starts dividing itself, right, into light. And then this light starts getting a gravitational pull. It starts becoming beings and archangels and angels and all that stuff. So it wants to start experiencing itself, which means it needs to experience some level of separation. Mm-hmm. So these darker beings help us and help the world without the dark energy, we wouldn't see anything. We wouldn't have this massive, beautiful illusion of separation. So they're here to help us separate. But sometimes it goes too far, so that we separate from love, we separate from source. So we, the human, have to remember we are light and we want union. We want balance. We want harmony, and start focusing our direction in that point, in that way, so that we don't feel overly separate from the people, overly separate from God, and reconnected to ourselves. So did that make sense?
No, that made perfect sense to me. I think so many times people get hung up on this, oh, the devil. And I mean, a lot of that is, I was raised Catholic. And of course, you know, they have that crazy, the first time I started, you know, channeling messages, that's the devil doing, you know, that's what my parents said. They've since changed their mind, thank goodness. But, you know, and so I think people still think the devil is this, you know, horrible, evil thing. And I have a different view of it as well.
Oh, what's your view?
My spirit has told me that it is just that there's opposites, there's different ends of things. And then there's not that there's good and bad. It's just the different parts, the dark of it. And it's mm-hmm. also, and we have to integrate all of those parts and love all of those parts in ourself in order to be complete. And if we don't, then we're going to experience that fear and everything that entails, that part. That's when it can get out of hand. But mm-hmm. if we don't have that separation and we have that union, we acknowledge the shadow in us, love that part of us as well, then we don't have that problem.
Oh, it's so true. Can I tell, I have to tell you, this is so weird that I'm just going to share this, but there is this. Okay. So I was on crystal meth. I'm just going to, because I was probably about, I don't know, who knows how old I was, early 20s. Right. And I'm just kind of like, this is the perfect example of what you're talking about. And because I didn't know that I was psychic or a medium or anything like that, right, back then. Right. So when people like us do certain things, we start channeling stuff and don't know how it's working, which is why so many people see like hallucinations and all this mm-hmm. stuff. So crystal meth can really do that to you. Anyways, I look up at the ceiling. I've probably been up for like 2 days or something. Look up at the ceiling. I see a full-blown demon squatting. And it's like the first time I saw a demon.
You're giving me the chills right now. I would tell you a story when you're done, but go ahead. This is very synchronistic right now.
Okay, yeah. Good. So I saw him like squatting, and then I could feel the room. You know how you can feel uh-huh. the presence of darkness, the presence yes. of evil. Yes. I could feel it, which was the creepiest part, because it's not like a real hallucination. If all you're doing is seeing it, it's like you can feel the presence. And then a can of soda kicked across the room by itself. And I was like, okay, freaked out. Okay, there's a demon up there. Okay, he wasn't looking at me, but he was right up there and I could see him. And the light, like I could even see his shadow. Like he was casting a shadow. It looked like it had some level of substance in there. And I was like, okay, this is weird. So I didn't know what to do. So, you know, what would you do? Mm-hmm. Of course you're going to get up, go find the nearest door with a lock on it. So I went into the bathroom. I locked the freaking door and I look in the mirror, and that was a fucking mistake. So yeah. I looked in the mirror and my face totally started changing, and you know, like I got fangs, and then and my cheekbones started busting out, and I was like, and I could feel, I felt I was like, okay. And I didn't know, because this was all new to me. I didn't know how to like process this shit. I'm like, okay,
I'm a therapist, fucking... So you're going, okay, I'm not insane.
No, I was way too young. Young back in my meth days. So it was like, I didn't know anything about spirituality or anything like that. So I'm like, I didn't know what to do. So I'm like, so I see that I'm morphing into this really dark creature. Mm-hmm. And I go, oh my God. And instead of me going like freaking out, I was like, oh shit. Well, if that's me, mm-hmm. that I have no, that I'm the biggest, baddest motherfucker in this house. So I don't know what the hell came over me, but I was so young and so dumb. I was like, well, I got nothing to be afraid of. Have you seen these things? You know? So I know it's probably like an actual demon maybe trying to possess me, but I was too dumb. So I thought it was me. So then I wasn't afraid anymore. And I'm telling you, as soon as I stopped being afraid, I'm so gone. So I walked back into the room, the demon's gone. And I was like, all right, me and my fangs, I'm sporting my fangs. But you know, I mean, but like, you know, I chalked it, of course, like it's like a drug induced thingy. Right. So I, you know, the next morning I was like, well, that was interesting. But the thing is like, I was so traumatized back then. I had so much fear in me back then that really
that was you. That was your projection.
That's what I'm saying. The projection of my own power was so fucking dark because I came from trauma. I had incredibly horrific experiences happen to me as a young one. So myself was full of toxicity, full of fear. And I feel like that was the projection. And so when I saw my own dark power, I was like, well, okay, I guess I got nothing to worry about.
That's hilarious.
I was, can you believe how stupid I was?
No, so, I mean, that's brilliant, honestly, because fear is what they feed off of. So it was like, well, crap, this isn't going to work. Might as well move on.
I know. I was like, I'm digging this makeover. Whatever you guys are doing. Yes.
When you started to tell that story, the hair stood up on my arms because this is such a synchronicity. When I was, I was in my senior year of college. I took a parapsychology class at TCU and mm-hmm. we had to go explore a haunting. So needless to say, I didn't know anything about spiritual protection and our teacher didn't teach it, yada, yada, yada. So this is when, in my days, when I was taking pain medication quite a lot. And same thing, laying on my bed, look up at the ceiling. There was a demon crouched, just like you were saying. Same thing, not looking at me, but crouched.
Shut up.
I swear to God, this is why this tripped me out. And I've told the story on another podcast, so I will send it to you so you can
Holy see crap.
Exactly like that. But I bolted the first thing, and I was in my pajamas. I took off to my parents' house, like, But I stopped to get some food because I'm in school. You know, I was getting my degree in psychology. I'm like, okay, doing checks. Maybe I have blood sugar's low. Something's crazy here. So I stopped to get food and I literally paid for my food. And then I'm waiting because this was at Whataburger and back in the day, you had to wait forever to get your food. And I look in the mirror. And again, like, just like what you said, I morph.
No.
With the fangs.
Stop That's it.
The main thing I noticed, I swear to God, that I was out of there. I just and took off to my parents' house. So yeah, I mean, it very much, just like you said, that stuff is inside of us and we project that out. That just made that very clear to me. I mean, very clear. So sorry,
oh,
I
just had to throw
that in because that was so bizarre.
Can you believe it? I know, because you're psychic, right? So that's shit's going to happen when we're kind of like a little off. Yeah. And so I was like severely off. And so that little demon was like, it's my turn to come out and play. Yeah. And I was like, oh shit. So yeah, that was the first time, right, that I experienced the dark. And it wasn't until, you know, I had my angel experience and I realized like, oh God, okay. So that, you know, there's real power. There's a real spiritual power there, and it's up to the medium to be able to really channel this. So it's almost like, you know, so much of my fear got transformed, and then I'm able to like experience, maybe it was the similar energy, but in angel form, yeah. Right? It's like, who can explain it? But that's why I'm saying spirit is really stressing. We cannot, if you are terrorized by even your own darkness. Now, not everybody's going to see it as clearly as you and I.
Right. Yeah.
But let's imagine that inside of us, there is a sinister beast that is kind of in there, but it's not the devil. It's all the fear that we have collected, that we have been, in a way, pushed down our throat to believe that, you know, we should be terrorized or afraid. I mean, nothing harmful happened to you either, right? I mean, all I had to do was like just dig my makeover and the energy changed, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and I think that goes back to shadow work. You really have to do that work. You have
Exactly.
to do the work in order to, or you will be terrorized by these kinds of things. I mean, it really does work that way, especially if you're intuitive. I have a client who consistently thinks somebody is going to curse her. She's going to be attacked. And guess what happens?
Yeah.
You know? And so it's like, we have to work on, you know, getting to that place of where she loves the darkness in her. And because it's not dark, it's just the fear around everything we've been taught. But to love that is to free yourself of all of those
things. Exactly. And really just by bringing a little consciousness to those places inside of us. So let's say you are in a full-blown addiction right now, because I'm pretty sure I was looking at the little beast inside of me that was making me love crystal meth, right?
Yeah.
And so let's say we have a little beastie inside of us. It's part of us is the thing. So there's nothing to be afraid of, but just bringing it a little consciousness, a little like, hey, okay, maybe, you know, maybe I'm not all love and light. Maybe there's something dark inside of me that's kind of driving this depression, driving this anger. But you know, angels I think working with angels has given me the ability to really do shadow work with love, I think, and to help other people do shadow work with love, because none of us are perfect. And I just think that we don't have to be perfect. And even when we're enlightened and have had our spiritual awakening, we can still fall all over the place. Who cares? Like, we seriously, we just need to, like, you know, love ourselves.
Yeah, and just stand back up and keep going. And, you know,
exactly.
That, you know, every person has dark days. I mean, it's not like, you know, we don't have dark days, but it's just a matter of how you look at it and how you frame it in your mind and go, well, that was kind of a crappy day. And then you just move on to it. Then it takes that energy from it.
Yeah. Hmm. And the thing is that the fear, this little, whatever it is inside of us that promotes this fear, you know, fear is natural and helpful to us. I want to say that. I'm not one of these, like, annihilate your ego kind of thing. Like, our ego keeps us alive. It's the only reason why I'm alive, right? Because it's like, I have a healthy amount of fear in me. It's just that when you project fear onto things that there's nothing to be afraid of, like, for instance, public speaking.
Oh my gosh. I have that. I used to have that too.
Yeah.
Until something I got passionate about, then it was like, oh, what? This is not a big deal.
Exactly. So there's a lot of really amazing, beautiful, heart-centered people out there who are still hiding. They're letting that inner devil, like, just kind of tell them that they have so much to be ashamed of and that there's nothing good inside of them. They're letting that inner devil win. And I'm sorry, but if you think Lord Satan's going to show up, like, at your front door, knock on the front door and say something sinister to you, like, hey, you know, don't, you know, what, public speaking is not your thing. Like, that's not how it works. The trickster is tricking us all the time, but the trickster is in here. And it's really until we can just hear that, like I said, hear that dark voice, move through it and acknowledge that it's there. So for me, I still have all the dark voices, right? We all do. It's just which voice you're going to listen to that day.
I love how you bring this back to such a human-esque energy that people can really deal with, because I think a lot of times people think, oh, you're psychic, you're up here, you've got all this ability to do this that I don't have. But this is really like handing it to them on a silver platter, going, you can do this too.
Here, oh, yeah.
This is all what it takes. And it really is that simple.
It is. Yeah. And that's why I, you know, I've spent a long part of my, my career as a kind of a in spiritual person, really working to empower other people to really kind of, there's nothing special about psychics. Like, we're all special is the thing. Yeah. And it's just a matter of really opening ourselves up to that truth and not running from it. It's really sad to me, because people believe, you know, I get so much email, like, is talking to angels, is it evil? Is it all of these things? And it's like, God, you know, there's a lot of damage that's been done to us over the years. A couple of thousand years of really, I guess, the church's need to control people and take over other cultures and kind of really push their agenda in other places, where we think the most natural things, which is to commune with spirit, we think that could possibly be evil, is really sad.
It is. Yeah. And, you know, it's, you've done ayahuasca ceremonies before, correct?
Oh yes. I psychedelics are a huge part of my life, and I'm actually a trained psychedelic therapist.
Oh, wow. Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny because when I was speaking to, this woman about, I'm going to do ayahuasca ceremonies, that's evil, that those are dangerous drugs. And they aren't drugs. They are medicine to commune with the divine. And she stopped in her tracks and literally was like, what, that you're crazy. Like, you've lost your mind. And I tried to explain it to her. She didn't want to hear it, but, you know, I just felt so sad that's how that, because don't you believe that this is a medicine that allows you to literally commune with the divine?
Yeah. Well, I mean, yes, absolutely. And that, you know, that's how they've been used for thousands of years, but, But yeah, they are medicine. It's medicine. They really use medicine.
Up close and personal, you know, like for some people who don't have those kinds of experiences, it allows you to have them more viscerally.
Yeah. Yeah. And in the right kind of setting, it can be super helpful to help you move through old trauma, through limitations. But they're teachers. The way that these plant medicines can teach us and instruct us is so powerful, and it's so life-changing. I mean, that's why I love, I mean, psychedelics and angels, those are my things right there. There's a few other things, but psychedelics and angels. Yeah. I mean, but I also want to say it's not like a magic bullet with the psychedelics, you know, because, there's a lot of, you know,
and inherent risks and
risks and dangers and, finding safe people, or, you know, there's a lot of predators in the world that pretend to be nice people. And so, you know, I just have to say that out loud.
Everybody, if you go to a shaman who's been trained, do your homework in that realm. And really, because it's it can be a bad thing. Unfortunately, it's sad that we have to live in a place where that's even a thing, but
this ain't no Ireland.
Yeah, exactly. But what's the most profound experience that you've had, either on psychedelics or not, in this realm, with the angels?
Gosh, this is like 12 years of information I have to mine right now to really think about. It's all just so good.
Yeah, whatever comes off the.
There's some really good ones. Oh, an interesting, you know, as far as teaching goes, right? And how they can teach you. I was wanting to really discover more about my alcohol addiction, because there's alcohol in my family, both sides, and all of that. So I wanted clarity and relief from my addiction, which plant medicines can really help you decrease your cravings and stuff like that. So what they showed me is that they took me all the way to Africa. And they showed me, or the spirit of ayahuasca showed me that the origin of the alcoholism on my family, my Puerto Rican side of that, I'm half Puerto Rican, half Mexican. Mm-hmm. And they said, that this is the original pain. This is what happened. And this is why your family struggles. And they showed me these people stealing people from a village to go into slavery. And I asked the spirit of ayahuasca, I said, well, which one is my relative? Which one, you know? And they said, it doesn't matter. Because the person stealing is just as pained as the person who was stolen. Because you lose your humanity when you do that. So when man turns against each other, that's the original pain, at least in my family. And they showed me these seeds of pain inside of my heart from the beginning of slavery in my family line. And so, you know, Puerto Rican has a strong, like I have a lot of African blood in me, and also Spaniard and all of that. So they said, it doesn't matter who's what, you're the carrier. And so I had to do some healing work around, you know, some ancestral healing work around.
That's powerful stuff too. When your ancestors gather around you and because when you release that for yourself, you release that for your whole life.
Yeah. I mean, we had to honoponopono the shit out of that one. Cause it's like, how do you like, sorry, my bad. It's like, there's no apology. You can't apologize. It's like good luck.
Yeah.
Cause that, I mean, you know, our whole world is suffering because of that whole moment in time where folks thought that was a good idea.
Well, my daughter wanted me to ask you, she's 5 and she speaks light language, and she wanted to know, is this the language of the angels? And I said, well, what do you think? This is what I asked her.
It's a great question. Yeah.
And she said, I think it's a mix between that and she calls them my fairies because she can see fairies in this dimension.
Yeah.
She's always trying to point them out to me. I'm like, honey, I wish I could, but I feel the energy, but I cannot see them physically. So she wanted to know where did this come from, where she can sing and talk in this language? And is it from the angels?
No. Here's my sense. Just when I'm first kind of tuning in with her, it's her, this light language is her soul language. And I feel like it's her soul's language. And so other beings know truth. So I just feel like it gives her that extra ability to make a powerful connection with fairies, really with whatever energies like of light that she wants to, because she's in a way channeling her language. That's my sense. And it's almost like if you, and I've never actually thought of this before, so I really just feel like I'm trying to connect here. I'm seeing like, you know how it's like you have more resonance when you're able to speak your soul's language, and then spirit can hear it because it's not polluted.
Yes, that makes complete sense. I understand her when she's talking in it too. I know exactly what she's trying to say.
Oh my gosh, really?
Yeah.
That's so cool.
And we will sing in it together. But at first I was kind of like, wait, I don't know. And she was just like, mommy, just sing with your heart. And I was like, okay. I mean, and it's funny because my daughter was my mother in our last past life. So she totally tries to act like the mother in this life. And I have to remind her. No. So, but she does, she teaches me so much, you know, and it's funny. We both teach each other, but she, you know, she had to kind of tell me just speak with your heart. And so then, you know, then it made more sense to me. But now when you're saying that's her soul's language, that resonated 100%. It's like, okay, I got it. And it's not polluted. And yeah. Because I've also spoken in it as well, just channeling. And I'm like, what? That's weird. How did that happen? So yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, that is so cool. I've never quite seen light language like that. But in her case, she's just speaking her truth.
Wow. You know? What about light codes? And individuals are getting a lot of downloads with light codes right now. What, and they don't really understand the meaning of it. What is
your Okay, first because I know that the light codes is a big buzzword right now. Mm-hmm. What do you mean when you say light codes?
Okay. So, for example, sometimes when, I had a client who was getting, a bunch of zeros and ones, that were flying in, and then there were downloads within them. Cause I told them, look into the numbers. There's probably information packets in there. And there was, then I had another client who was telling me, I'm writing in all these different, you know, I'm writing these different codes. And then I had another friend who's saying she's birthing these light codes. And I didn't want to ask because I was like, okay, she was just going on a tangent. So I didn't have a moment to ask what she meant by it. But.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So then what's your question about that again?
Just what are these light codes? What are they transmitting right now? And what is, what are they trying to achieve with that? Is it birthing a new planet for the 5D? What do you believe?
I'm trying to feel into how I want to answer this here. I know there's a lot of talk about, you know, 5D and all of that. I think as I answer this, I also want to say that there's a lot of people getting so lost within the 5D, so lost with the codes, so lost. So I just always like when I encounter people like this, I always want to invite them to not put all their energy towards that and to stay grounded, to stay in this world, because that's where the magic happens.
I wanted to ask you this question because of that. Yeah.
Oh, okay, good. Because people who are, what's the word, who are highly sensitive, but also maybe they carry a lot of trauma on their body or whatever. These energies can unground someone and can start leaning them towards the not a great path because they think
they want to go elsewhere when we're meant to do work here.
We're meant to. So people use a lot of the people using a lot of these language things like the fifth dimension. Anytime I hear one of my people in my communities start talking over too much about the fifth dimension, I have to stop and go, it's really about the third dimension right now. You might be tapping into this stuff over here. It's an infinite universe. But if your life on the ground is misbehaving, it is like, is fucking crumbling, get out of the ethers, come back into your life, back into your body, eat a fucking roast beef sandwich, drink some whiskey, do whatever you can to lower your frequency so you can be back here and manage your life. And I'm saying this now, Kirsten, because literally just yesterday, was it yesterday? I've been working with this CEO. He runs a big, you know, beautiful company. He had a spiritual awakening at the beginning of the year and has been like channeling and getting super into it as it happens, right? It happened to you. It happened to me. But you know, has a family and a son and all this stuff. When I first started talking to him and he was like, okay, I want to channel this and I want to talk to this and that a little. And I was like, I felt into spirit. And then they put the brakes on. They're like, there's no channeling with this guy. Do not channel with him. You're going to specifically just ask him about his life, not his spiritual life. And so it was like, hey, how's your business doing? Well, we haven't been profitable over the last 5 months. How's the marriage doing? Well, she just really hates me right now. Okay. And I'm like, okay, this is why it's imbalanced. Come back into balance. And so, you know, yeah, he's like light codes and all, you know, and he's like, oh, I just was, he was in his mind helping the ascension along. And I was like, as you do that, your real life's going to crumble. Right. So that's where I had to go with him. And I felt bad because I wanted to give, you know, I wanted to do the fun stuff with him, but they wouldn't let me. They're like, do not, you know, there's nothing. Don't talk about guides. Don't talk, you know? And I'm like, okay.
Set you down. There's no getting that information. You're like,
I know. I had to give him, and I do a lot of business coaching. Yeah, so then we just shifted into like real world, like, okay, you need action steps. You need, this is what, you know, so we started doing that. And he kept listening to his fucking guides. Okay. And kept listening and eventually invested without his wife's knowing because his guides told him not to, invested $500,000 in crypto, and the crypto market started to climb and he was stoked. And it was like, okay, great. Glad that intuition was great. Okay. And then, yeah, I just talked to him yesterday and they had just lost $1 million. Lost as in gone. And so that's why it's like when I just have to, I feel like I'm probably like the only spiritual person talking about like, don't talk about, don't go there right now.
No, you're not. Because I think a lot of people get so lost in their spiritual journey, they forget about what's going on here.
Yeah. And it's like
relationships get ruined.
Yeah.
Parents stop paying attention to their kids, those kinds of things.
They get, again, it's like this magnetic pull, like a magnetism. And it's almost like a conspiracy theory rabbit hole. It's got this
kind of, it's got that kind of component to it.
It is an addiction. It can be. And so once someone gets a sense of like, oh, I'm like privy to some spiritual information, and like I they like that feeling of feeling like you're in the know on stuff, and then they just kind of stay there. Now I'm not saying that this stuff isn't real, because I talk to space aliens, okay? but to me it's not a big deal. It's part of life.
Yeah. And I'm hoping for everybody, it gets to that point soon too, because
because it's such a weird time on the planet. It's because of all this like compounded trauma that we have because of COVID and because of all the things that are happening. The spiritual rabbit hole can really take people into some pretty interesting places if they're not watching. So
you think it's also because we went with COVID, we went through such a period of contraction that now the opposite is happening. Expansion is so big that it's almost overwhelming.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think, I think, you know, these kinds of, you know, how we were talking about how trauma and like dark, why do you find spirituality your darkest moments? Well, guess what? We, as a planet, we just had that. So people are like finding their inner resources and going, whoa, all of a sudden I can see stuff. And yeah, it could be, you could be like, people who just crack open can be so annoying to the, people that they love, right? Because that's all they want to talk about. Yeah. So I meet with a lot of those people, right? Cause they're like, I don't know what's going on. And I was like, okay. So,
that was me 10 years ago with my family. I just wouldn't shut up about it.
I know. Cause it's hard not to be so annoying. But yes, eventually you learn boundaries and like, it's not everybody's path to kind of be into that. But yeah, so, but the people seeing the light codes, there's nothing wrong with it. I just, you know, I see some, I have things happen to me. A great way to do it is like, you know, you can channel about it. Just don't spend hours doing that. So I think that's when people get lost. They spend 6 hours a day trying to crack the code on the universe. And, you know, here's the big news. It doesn't matter. It doesn't, you know,
you're not going to crack anything either.
There's no code. Yes. I've been trying. I've been seriously trying.
There's no cracking anything.
You might have a little discovery, but again, it's Tricksterville because it's the astral plane. Yeah. So people think like, oh, this is definitely happening because of this and this and this. And it's like, well, you were just in the astral plane. It's fluid. Yeah. Okay. That's not truth up there.
No, it's not. Yeah. So do you think that, I'll rephrase that. Each of us has a guardian angel. How do we get in touch with our guardian angels? Because I myself, and this annoys me to no end, I can see them for other people, but I cannot see them or speak to my guardian angel for myself. And it is so frustrating. I can tell you, it's beyond me.
I know. Oh my gosh. You know, because I train people, I have a 6-month intuitive healing training, and that's like the bounty for those people is that then they have like all of these like people that they could always go to for their own messages. They could go to the other students because it's so much easier to read for other people than it is. And I'll tell you why. It's because if you're here to do like good work mm-hmm. and to be of service, it's like you're being of service when you're working on behalf of someone else. So spirit really shows up. And then when it's just you, it's like, you're not as, it's just little old me. It's not as exciting.
But each person does. So, cause some people do have the ability to contact and speak with their own guardian angels. Is that correct?
Yeah, everybody can. It's just a matter of, just trusting the information that comes through in the beginning. You can even feel your guides and angels, which I really love to help people do, because once you can actually feel it, then you know, like you're not making that part of it up, right? Because you can imagine anything in your mind. But in the beginning, you create this beautiful open space, you call on creator, God, or whoever it is that you pray to, and you ask to be connected with your highest guide or your, you know, guardian angel, and then see what happens, you know? And it's like building a relationship. So I always tell people, don't, you know, it doesn't have to be
get that message. It's like, this is a relationship, like any other relationship, it has to develop, you know,
yeah.
Play their cards on the table. Here you go. Here's everything.
Right. People don't have the patience, and they also want like that angel to kind of walk up to them and have a cup of coffee and like, let's talk. That's, working our spiritual gifts in the beginning is, you know, it's like a little flex, but everything is right here, right now for us. And until we really realize that those communications are real and can be so helpful. And at the same time, there's always that margin of error. So when, again, I'm pointing out to like, there's some people who develop a spiritual arrogance about their intuition.
Trust me, this message needs to be so heard right now. So I'm so glad you're saying this because,
oh my gosh, really? I feel like a party pooper?
No, not at all. I mean, I know my listeners are very much into self-development. So this is a message I know that needs to be heard on so many.
Yeah.
So this is.
Yeah. So here's like spiritual arrogance, right? It's when we think, oh, we're so much better than the people who aren't spiritual. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of that in the beginning. Like I've had people go like, well, what am I supposed to do with my husband? He's not spiritual. It's like, and it's like, well, okay. Is he a kind, nice person? Or is he a dick? Because you know, like that's the
thing that about my partner. They're like, but he's not really into spiritual stuff. I'm like, but he's an amazing human being with a huge heart. So it works.
I love myself. I'm so grateful. My people are not spiritual. I'm so like my boyfriend is not spiritual. Like, yeah. Thank you. Because I don't need to talk about it all day, but when you're kind of more integrated, like to me, there's not a difference between the spiritual world and the physical world. Nice. And so my boyfriend, everyone's having a beautiful expression of spirit. They're a beautiful expression of it. They don't need to believe the way I believe. Like that's the last thing I want, to be honest. Yeah.
And it's all beautiful the way we come together with our differences.
I know. I think it's cool.
Together. I mean, that's much more interesting than everybody that just thinks the exact same as you all day long. You know, that would get boring.
Exactly.
Do you advocate invocation or do you advocate just opening sacred space when you work with them? How do you suggest people?
Yeah. So I recommend all things. So there's a lot of different ways to talk to angels or to talk to spirit. You can talk to them casually, like they're just sitting there in the room with you, or you're like, I do a lot of talking to them when I'm driving. Right.
Yeah.
But if there's like something that you're really like wanting and you want to create, like you want to manifest or you want to really get to this new part in your life and you're just fucking tired of hitting your head against the wall over and over again, you can create ceremony out of it. And so in those cases, the most powerful way to talk to angels, I believe, is invocation. And invocation is kind of like prayer-ish, but not really. Invocation is really about you inviting the energy of this angel to come to life inside of you, the energy of whatever God, goddess, creator, whatever, to come into life inside of you. So if you want let's say that you are full of fear and you're about to get on stage and do that speaking gig, that's a perfect time to do an invocation with Archangel Michael. Yes. So you know, an invocation can be just made up, but it's like, you know, I call on Archangel Michael, dear Archangel Michael, come inside of me and help release me from the bondage of this fear that I feel. And you want to just wait for it and just like imagine that he comes and with invocation, the way that I like to do it, I wait until I feel a shift or a change. Whereas with prayer, you're more like begging for something to happen. Like, please help me. And with,
do you feel the energy move inside? I kind of feel this like vibrational shift, like,
yeah.
Okay.
If you can feel it in the beginning, it might be hard to feel, but you can, depending on what kind of medium you are, you're more visual or you can sense so you just kind of like, you can imagine the angel coming, doing its thing and then leaving, or you could just like imagine, you know, like just feel how you feel, check in with creator. Hey, has the work been done? Has it been done? So you always, what I love about invocation, it's about embodiment.
Yeah. And Archangel Michael always shows up. I mean, he's a faithful, every time I'm doing a healing, I'm like, can you come in here and help me with this?
Boom. Exactly.
There. So
yeah,
they are, you know, and I think, I don't know if you know the shaman, Anthony Villalobo, but he always says, spirit will always show up for you, but you have to make sure you're showing up for it.
Oh, so true. We miss it. We miss it half the time. There's little miracles, little breadcrumbs, little signs that they're giving us all the time, but we're so caught up in Butthurt Alley. We don't see it. We don't notice. And so I think that's most of the work, is just opening your eyes a little bit more, right? Slowing down, paying attention.
And I always ask my guests, this is the last question, is what is, if you had one sentence, couple words to say, what is your advice to humanity?
Oh, that's a really good question. So hard not to sound like just a walking cliche, right? Because the first thing I'm feeling is just to be kind to yourself. Be kind to yourself, be kind to each other. But I also just want to say, like, there's so much magic inside of you. There's just so much magic. And it's really waiting for the captain of its ship to arrive so that you can start directing it in a beautiful direction. Because that ship won't sail alone, but it's there. It's there.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I love how you cast humor into things and not make it so serious, because life doesn't have to be so tough. And I think that's another message that I just wanted to say I've gleaned from you. And I think that's an important message for everybody else to hear too, is like, laugh more.
Yeah. Oh gosh. Yeah. Laugh. And sometimes
make fun of yourself.
Always make fun of yourself. Yeah. I love that. It's one of my favorite top five things to do, to make fun of myself. But yeah, I think some of us, you know, we're still kind of deconstructing some of the harms that, more organized religion has caused, which is you should not have fun and you should be very serious and perfect and all of those things. And I that's never anything that I've experienced from the spiritual. So, you know, it's all about like just more love and more pleasure, be happy, you know?
Now, I know you don't work with clients anymore, like on a one-on-one basis. You do for businesses, right? But how do people, how would people through your Angel Alchemy course, I believe it is, how can they sign up for that, or how can they work with you?
Yeah, well, I mean, you can check out my website. And I always have kind of, usually I'll have like whatever it is that we have going on up there. You can check out my 6-month training. We just started that about a month or two in October. So I'll do that once or twice a year. I'm always doing little 21-day rituals here and there. We're right in the middle of one of them right now. And I'm actually opening up the Shasta space. Right. Ooh. So starting in spring, we'll actually be able to gather. Yeah. So, speaking about like this new directive, I think all of us are getting new instructions for how we are to serve and the work that we're supposed to do. And so this, this house that is on a, it's on 10 acres, and I'll be able to bring, you know, maybe 12 or 15, not that many people, which is actually really good. So I can really get to know people there, but we'll be doing a lot of different types of pilgrimage and some of the retreats would be designed geared towards medicine or psychedelic experiences, in particular for people who are wanting to serve and make an impact in the world. And it really makes a difference when you're coming at it with a full open heart and soul. So I really want to support other movers and earth movers and shakers to really step into their power. And they're showing me that one of the best ways I can do that at this time is by hosting in-person, more in-person events.
That'll be awesome. Well, I will include the links to her website in the show notes and everything else. If you guys want to follow her on Instagram and Facebook and all of that and hear about what she's got coming up. It was so amazing having you on. I had such a good time. I will definitely have to have you back again.
I would love to.
Okay. Well, you have a beautiful day. Thanks.
Yeah. Thank you so much.